Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, October 22, 2015. The UN is warning that tens of thousands of South Sudanese may face famine if the warring parties continue to prevent aid agencies from delivering aid to those in need.
As we continue to see the deterioration in the situation, to continue to appeal to all parties to provide us with access to these communities, because we have not been able to even assess what their conditions are.
And delegates from the warring parties meet with IGAD again to discuss security arrangements ahead of a transitional period as stipulated in the peace deal.
The continuation of violations of the cessation of hostilities agreement is casting doubt on the parties' seriousness and commitment to end the crisis through peaceful means.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Representatives of President Salva Kiir's government, the armed opposition, and the former political detainees are meeting once again in Addis Ababa to discuss transitional security issues with IGAD Plus special envoys. In his opening remarks, Chief IGAD mediator Seyoum Mesfin told the three sides in South Sudan's conflict that the international community is disappointed to see that the fighting is continuing in spite of the peace agreement that was signed in August.
The whole world expects the parties to the agreement to silence the guns and stop the violations immediately. This is a very critical step towards the establishment of the transitional government of national unity and indeed a demonstration of your commitment to the agreement.
Seyoum is referring to a sharp uptick in fighting that occurred in parts of Unity and Upper Nile states just days after the peace deal was signed. Seyoum says the repeated ceasefire violations are putting the peace agreement in danger.
The continuation of violations of the cessation of hostilities agreement is casting doubts on the parties' seriousness and commitment to end the crisis through peaceful means. The credibility of the parties is on the line in front of the eyes of your own people and the international community.
Seyoum noted that the parties have made some substantive progress towards implementing parts of the deal, including the security arrangement during a transitional period, which were discussed in a workshop last month in Addis. But he says more needs to be done to finalize those arrangements. Seyoum formally announced at the meeting that former Botswanan President Festus Mohai has been appointed to head the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, or JMEC, which he called one of the main pillars of the peace deal for South Sudan. JMEC is tasked with overseeing compliance with the ceasefire. Seyoum emphasized that yesterday's meeting has not been called for to renegotiate the August peace deal, but rather
is an exercise to find ways and means of implementing it expeditiously and in good faith.
Information Minister Michael Makui is attending the Addis meeting on behalf of the government. Taban Dengai is representing Machar's SPLM in opposition, and former Justice Minister John Luke is representing the former detainees. Seyoum urged all the delegates to consult each other in good faith and work to make peace a reality in South Sudan. Three UN agencies in South Sudan are sounding alarm that parts of the country may face famine unless urgent action is taken to get aid to people in need. The warning comes after the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, or IPC, released its latest assessment of the situation in South Sudan. The IPC analysis found that 3.9 million people in South Sudan are at the highest level of food insecurity. This is the first time IPC analysis has found any parts of the population to be at the highest phase of hunger. Vilma Tyre, the UNICEF chief nutrition in Juba, says children from war-affected areas are particularly hard hit, as Lucy Pony reports for VOA from Nairobi.
It was UNICEF, the World Food Programme, and the Food and Agriculture Organization that raised the alarm about looming famine in parts of South Sudan. They are calling on the parties to the conflict, which was supposed to have ended in August with the signing of a peace deal, to grant urgent and unrestricted access to high-risk areas, including parts of Unity States, where the IPC says at least 30,000 people face imminent starvation and death. UNICEF's Tyler says some villages in Unity and Upper Nile States have been cut off from receiving aid or even assessment visits from humanitarian workers for nearly 2 years.
So in some cases, we haven't been able to go since the beginning of the conflict. And some cases, we have not been able to go for over a year.
Tyler says when the peace agreement was signed in August, the UN agencies had expected it would become easier to reach the areas that were cut off by fighting. But she says nothing has changed in the 2 months since the peace deal was signed and a ceasefire declared.
As we continue to see the deterioration in the situation, to continue to appeal to all parties, government and opposition, to provide us with access to these communities because we have not been able to even assess what their conditions are.
Tyler says children have been particularly hard hit by the crisis.
We are seeing children coming, malnourished. Children are sick. Children who have been traumatized. These children have lost everything. You know, they haven't been able to go to school.
Tyler says an estimated 4 million people have not had access to health care throughout the 22-month-old conflict. She says people have lost their sources of income and their hope for the future.
So they've lost everything, become traumatized, and these people are more at risk of getting their health condition getting worse because, you know, they've been traveling many times on foot for a long time. With very little food, with no access to clean water, sleeping outside, exposed to, you know, all kinds of environmental conditions, rain, malaria, etc.
World Food Programme regional spokeswoman Charles McDonough says unless aid agencies are given urgent and unrestricted access to all parts of South Sudan, there could be catastrophic hunger in places. She cites the example of Unity State where
there are already estimated to be some 30,000 people who are experiencing what amounts to starvation in those areas. And unless agencies are able to reach people to provide assistance, the situation could deteriorate even worse in the coming months.
McDonough says access has been cut off to areas in Unity, Jonglei, and Upper Nile States. But she says even people who live in areas that have not been directly affected by the conflict face hunger.
The food insecurity in those areas is being driven by very high inflation rates, market disruption, the economic crisis, and, you know, large-scale displacement related to the conflict, loss of livestock, agricultural production. It's basically people's livelihoods are now being affected significantly, even in the areas of the country that are not directly affected by the conflict. So the situation is serious everywhere.
McDonough says food security in South Sudan was expected to be much better this year than it was during the same period in 2014. But sadly, she says, that is not the case.
It is much worse than this time last year. Usually around now, we would be expecting an improvement in food insecurity because the harvests have come in. And so it usually seasonally it improves. We're not seeing the kind of improvement that we would usually expect. And it's considerably worse than this time last year. It's about 80% more people than this time last year who are facing severe hunger.
McDonough says it is critical for the warring sides in South Sudan to ensure that humanitarian agencies have access to people in affected areas. She says the international community must support humanitarian agencies with the resources they need to reach people across the country. McDonough says South Sudanese will need sustained assistance over the next year at least. And, she says, key to preventing catastrophic hunger from claiming even more lives in South Sudan is
for the fighting to stop, for the guns to be put down, and for the peace agreement that's been signed to be implemented. And you know, for that to be reflected in humanitarian access to people who are in very, very severe need.
For VOA News, I'm Lucy Pony in Nairobi.
Philip Aleu contributed to this report from Juba. Meanwhile, Ugandan forces who have been stationed in Juba since the conflict broke out in December 2013 were given a high-level send-off today as they began to pull out of the capital and return home. The withdrawal of Ugandan People's Defense Force, or UPDF, is a key provision of the peace deal that was signed by President Kiir and Riek Machar in August, as VOA fellow Tito Justin reports.
No! No!
This Disbele band played patriotic songs as the Ugandan flag was lowered and this Disbele flag hoisted at the farewell ceremony for the Ugandan forces. Thousands of troops from the Uganda People's Defense Force, or UPDF, were deployed in South Sudan to shore up the government when fighting broke out in Juba in late 2013. Defense Minister Kwol Manyang Juk said at the ceremony that the presence of Uganda's forces in Juba averted what would have been the destruction of the country's capital.
Many people would have died, would have been killed, and many people would have been sent to destitution. And therefore, the population of Juba at that time would have all been in Uganda. They would have gone to Uganda as refugees, straining the resources of Uganda and creating insecurity to Uganda.
The commander of the Ugandan forces in South Sudan, Brigadier General Muhanga Kayanja, said the Ugandan troops are preventing wide-scale killing in Juba and in other states where they were deployed when the fighting spread.
We came here in support of the SPLA, and I think we have scored in many areas. One of the areas where we have scored together is in the area of security of the people of South Sudan. By the time we came here, when the rebels were advancing, there were a lot of killings by the rebels wherever they would pass.
A peace agreement signed in August calls for the withdrawal of foreign forces allied with either side in the conflict. Manyang said the withdrawal of the UPDF from Juba is another sign that the government is serious about implementing the peace deal.
President Salva Kiir signed the agreement for the resolution of conflict in South Sudan. It was signed also before by Dr. Riek Machar. And we are here on the process of implementing the resolutions of the peace agreement. One of the resolutions called for the UPDF to withdraw from Juba, from Bor, from South Sudan.
As stipulated in the peace agreement, Ugandan forces deployed in Western Equatorial State to fight the Lord's Resistance Army will remain in the country, Manyang says. At least 300 UPDF forces were present at today's farewell ceremony. UPDF forces also began pulling out of Bor in Jonglei State this week. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Washington.
That report was prepared by Waki Simon Wudu in Juba. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, students in Western Bahr al-Ghazal take part in school competition to draw a message of hope and peace. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what one thing have you not done that you really want to do?
Well, one thing that I haven't done that I really want to do, probably get married and have kids.
Okay, the one thing that I want really to do is to study banking and finance, mainly because it's my goal, so I really want to do it.
It is to fly with air. It is the things that I wanted to do. It is in my mind to fly.
One thing that I've not yet done, I want to do. I think making a lot of money and becoming rich. That's what I can tell you, because that's my dream, because that's what I always fight for in life. Yeah.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. While municipal authorities say they are working to recover millions of South Sudanese pounds stolen by tax collectors, officials accuse more than a dozen tax collectors and administrators of pocketing millions of South Sudanese pounds they have collected over the past 2 years. As Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from WOW, the alleged perpetrators have been given 24 hours to return the money or face arrest.
Remigio Hassan Seferio, chief WOW administrator who oversees all revenue collectors in the area, believes some of his officials have misappropriated the revenues they collected. Tax collectors carry a document in the field called Form 15. The form is used to record taxes paid by each client. Before the close of business each day, a tax collector is supposed to return each filled-out form and hand over the money collected. But Severio says more than 10 collectors are suspected of collecting the taxes but never turning over the money or the forms that have been filled out. Speaking in Arabic, Severio says 16 people are accused of disappearing with the forms and the money. He says they learned of the fraud from an internal audit on 2013 and 2014. He says the people worked residential areas and simply never returned. Severio says to prevent a similar abuse in the future, his office will record all tax collection forms issued to tax collectors and ensure that all revenue collected is remitted every day. The stolen funds were discovered by Wau Municipality's newly elected mayor, Elia Camilo Dimo, who took office 3 days ago. Dimo says he analyzed the municipality's financial records and found that more than £1 million was missing.
They failed up to now to bring the forms back, not even the money they have collected. They failed also to bring and remit that money. So I have gave my directive to the legal advisor and then the executive director. These people, we will bring them to the books. If they fail to report today, we'll open police cases. We are talking about, you know, more than 40-something from 15. So it's a lot of money, as you can see.
Mayor Dimo says he wants to see the revenues collected will be utilized to develop the town, including fixing roads and street lights. Officials say some of the tax collectors even gave tax collection forms to their relatives who illegally collected taxes from unsuspecting traders.
All the tax collectors must be the government officials, you know, because I learned some of them are just people, you know, a normal citizen. They just brought them and then give them that assignment.
Many taxpayers say they are shocked at the misuse of their money and say it has no wonder they have not seen any improvements in service delivery or roads. Gabriel Luis, who owns a furniture shop in Joe Market, says he paid £5,000 as a business license fee this year. He says he is disappointed. The money ended up in someone's pocket. Luis says he pays a lot of money every year and hopes the roads are repaired, but nothing ever gets repaired. Local Government Minister Angelo Taban Biagio says all administrators and tax collectors found guilty or stealing tax money will be fired. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Wau.
From where we move to Awil. 2 weeks ago, we reported about extremely overcrowded conditions at Awil Central Prison, where prisoners say things are so bad that they have to stand most of the time because there is no place to sit. A company in Awil has stepped up and paid for the release of more than 50 inmates, most of whom were behind bars for failing to repay loans. For VOA News, Abraham Agot has more from Awil.
After the reports heard like the one on South Sudan in Focus about overcrowded prison, Jogville announced a donation of 20,000 South Sudanese pounds to pay the debts of 52 inmates who were jailed for failing to pay petty loans. State officials and relatives of the inmate attended a recent ceremony at the prison where Jogville Company executives handed over the former inmates to their relatives. Deputy Governor Deng Deng Akwei, who oversaw the release of prisoners, praised Jogville for its action.
We had a businessman, a goodwill person, a person who has listened to Radio Marayo and other radios and newspaper, that we have need to reduce the overcrowdedness in Awil Central prisons. This is our chance to embark on our people and tell them that, yes, by releasing them doesn't mean prison will be empty. There will be a lot of people. But the real solution is to build another facilities.
Attack Court, Jogville's director in Awil, says his company will continue to work with the state government to do more to ease congestion at the prison.
We are now paying for the release of those with small fines. The second stage will be to empty the whole prison, and the third stage will be building the premises for different society groups. In the prisons of other developed countries, when you go in, you find radios, TVs, and every type of media there. So we have agreed to release this batch and another upcoming batch because I plan to come for a third time to the prison and to hopefully find it empty.
Joseph Mack, Director of Legal Administration for the state, says even though the prison still remains overcrowded, releasing those dozens of inmates relieves overcrowding. Mack called on the businessmen and women to emulate Job Bill for, as he put it, the sake of humanity. 16-year-old Manuta Goth, one of the freed inmates, says he spent several months in a Will Central prison for failing to repay a loan from a relative.
And I will say,
I am happy to be released by Brother Attack Court today. I spent 5 months in prison. I tell my brother, if someone wants money from you and you know it, please pay him. There are skin diseases in the prison, which is something very bad. Now I am sick and I will pass by a clinic for treatment.
James Qualcour, a relative of one of the freed inmates, expressed his gratitude to Job Bill for paying the inmates' debt. He warned those outside prison to refrain from committing crimes.
I hope those released from the prison, not just my relative, but all of them, stop bad practices and return to God who released them from bad places like prison, which we call in Dinka the open grave. I hope everyone who was released will not repeat their past mistakes. I urge my relative who was released to remember the state of prison where says there are diseases and the weather is not good.
Officials say a Will Central prison still holds more than 500 inmates. It was designed to hold only 150 when it was built in the 1970s. For VOA News, I'm Abraham McGoth reporting in a Will.
Students in Western Bahr al-Ghazal State are taking part in a competition to convey messages of peace through art. The competition is part of a broader tournament between 10 schools in the state that is using sports and different arts forms to allow youngsters to discover their talents and at the same time send important messages to their elders and leaders of the country. Michael Atit attended the competition and files this report from WOW for Voice of America.
On a large sheet of colored paper, Achai Achuolalor uses pens and watercolor paints to draw a row of tukuls. In the foreground of the drawing, a woman cooks a meal for her family and teenage girl grinds sorghum. In the background, a young boy plays. Alor says the drawing picks her home village in Abyei, which was destroyed in one of the many wars that wrecked Sudan and South Sudan over the past half century. Alor says life in the village was good and that her most fervent wish is to be able to return there one day soon. But for that to happen, she says, there has to be no more war and people have to be able to live in peace. Alor says peace will allow South Sudan to get back on the path to development. Yakub Andrea from Lokloko Secondary School in WOW is drawing a picture that he says illustrates the need for strong leadership in South Sudan. Andrea says his picture depicts South Sudan pleading with President Salva Kiir to restore peace in the country. Another picture that he's drawing shows the Virgin Mary carrying the baby Jesus. The third one is a picture of the shepherd and his flock. Andrea says the shepherd is supposed to serve as an example for the leaders of South Sudan. Teacher Addison Arcangelo Musa is overseeing the drawing competition. He says, in the 4 hours that were allotted to the students, they came up with many different ways to illustrate their desire for peace.
Someone drawing students, two students, they are going to school, and they are just raising the South Sudanese flag. And there is some, they are focusing in South Sudan nature. They draw trees within river, and there is some animals, and there is some birds, and that's why from these pictures, from this drawing, you find that they are just focusing in nature, and there is something that brings us peace and unity within the students, within the South Sudanese.
Germano Zakaria Goy heads the sports department in the Ministry of Education in Wau. She says competitions like this one are important because they could help a child to discover an untapped talent. Zakaria says South Sudanese parents should let their children try their hand at different pastimes, sports, and academic pursuits. Discovering a passion will enrich their children's life, she says. Most parents in South Sudan want their children to tend to family's livestock or farm, or to pursue a potentially profitable career as a lawyer, doctor, or engineer. Only few encourage their children to become artists. A team of teachers from 10 schools taking part in the tournament will determine the winner of the art competition and announce their decision next week. The top three student artists will take home art supplies like paper, paint, and pens to allow them to continue to nurture their skills. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Wau.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. Representatives of the government, the armed opposition, and the former political detainees are meeting once again in Addis to discuss demilitarization issues with IGAD Plus special envoys. Chief IGAD mediator Sayoum Mesfin warned all three parties that the whole world is watching and is disappointed to see that fighting continues in violation of the permanent ceasefire. He called silence the guns a critical step toward establishing a transitional government as outlined in the agreement. Three UN agencies, UNICEF, the World Food Programme, and the Food and Agriculture Organization, all warn that unless urgent action is taken, famine in parts of South Sudan is imminent. The Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, or IPC, released its latest assessment in South Sudan and concluded that 3.9 million people are at the highest level of food insecurity. And finally, Ugandan forces stationed in Juba since December 2013, when the South Sudan conflict erupted, are going home. They were given an official farewell ceremony today as they pulled out of the capital. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, Carol. And that brings us to the end of our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song, Redemption Song, by a group known as Playing for Change.
After they took God from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you give to see another songs of freedom? It's all I ever heard. Redemption song. Redemption song.
Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy.
We have been listening to Playing for Change with the song Redemption Song. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Well, we've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help me sing another song of freedom?